you don't ever get over it, but
you know, I understand that, but so she was trying to read anything that she could get her hands on to help her.
She got her all confused.
Understand
grief.
Grief loss. And why God does what he does and
yeah.
and those things. And is it here in 1 Peter that talks about if you, I can't remember.
If need be.
If need
if
be.
If you're grieved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah, 1 Peter 1:6
yeah.
through 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then go from there.
Right. And you got to think about when Peter gives those things, he says, in this you rejoice. In what? What he just said about the great things that we have. In the revelation that we have a living hope.
Yeah.
A hope that is alive in us.
Well, that was my advice yesterday, was start looking forward.
Mm-hmm.
Don't continue to look backward.
Mm-hmm.
Look forward, and you'll start, the Holy Spirit will start speaking to you and answering things. There you may not ever hear a definitive reason why, but you're not going to find it looking backwards. You got to look forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you look at those great truths that Peter brings up, he says we rejoice in that, though we are grieved with manifold troubles.
Right.
Pressure that's coming from every angle. In the midst of it, you can celebrate. You can rejoice because of what you do have. He's not minimizing the fact that you are grieved. He says you're obviously are being grieved. But the gladness of what you do have overcomes the grief,
yeah.
not the grief overcoming the gladness.
Right.
So no doubt that would be a very challenging thing to deal with. And if you're not careful, you'll read from all circles of life
yeah.
and people dealing with the steps of grief. And that's where you get into this confusion about life and what God does and what God doesn't do, and you wrestle with it. And that's where the book of Habakkuk is a great book, because
okay.
Habakkuk wrestled with what God was doing, what God said he was gonna do, and what he had already done. Habakkuk says, God, why'd you do this? You're not supposed to do this. You don't have the right to do this. This is against your nature to do this. So he's struggling with it, but he struggled wisely with it. He said, I'm gonna wait to hear from you.
Yeah.
So he looked. He said, I'm going to go to the rampart. I'm going to go get away from what I've been told, and I'm going to wait to hear directly from you. And then God spoke to him, and then he gets to the place where he realizes that, hey, God, you can do what you want to do, and I can rejoice in it, even though I may not be able to understand it, even though you take away everything. You take away everything. I am going to rejoice and celebrate and look to you. And in the result, he says, you're going to give me deer's feet.
Yeah.
That is, you're going to give me the feet to overcome. You ever watch a goat go up side of a mountain? I mean, them goats are going side of a mountain that looks
yes.
like virtually impossible to be able to be on. There's no crevices. A man can't climb it unless he's got something locked in with ropes. But them goats can walk alongside those mountains and overcome that. And he's saying he's going to give you feet like a goat or like a deer that overcomes the impossible things in life so that you can walk in it. And that's what she needs.
Yeah.
So she wrestled, or he wrestled, excuse me, but he wrestled wisely, and he wrestled worshipful. That is, he rested in the Lord. And the scripture says, if you rest in me, wait upon me, you'll walk and not become weary.
Yeah.
You'll run and not faint, and you'll soar on wings of eagles. So if anybody's not in that position of being able to walk out what God gives us, fulfill the mission that he's given us to fulfill, and overcome impossible things, it's evident that we're not waiting upon the Lord.
Right.
And those that wait upon him are waiting upon his mercy. His loving kindness, that God is always faithful and reliable. And that's the people that fear God,
and
that properly yield and put place, even in the don't have solutions for, you know.
And to a point where this could be part of her mission is to talk to somebody else that has grieved to get them, help them get through it.
Right. And that's where we go. There's no doubt about that. We go back to, we don't isolate ourselves in the sense that the Bible says if the enemy could do unnatural things to us, you got to keep in mind death is part of life.
Yeah.
Every one of us, some die early, some die, live a lot longer. That's out of our control. We don't have the answer for that other than God's answer, and his answer for death is Jesus.
Yeah.
So no matter how we look at it, Jesus is the answer for this.
Yeah.
And his comfort through it would be the answer in it. But first, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the scripture says, look, if God has troubled you, it's so that you can be an instrument that he'll work through. And if God is comforting you, it is so that you can be an instrument that God can work through. So 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 11 tells us that no matter what we face in life, God uses it so that we can be an instrument that God can work through to be a blessing to other people. And Paul in that says, we don't want you to be unaware, but we had so much trouble upon us in this that we despaired even of life. We had to have a sentence of death in ourselves. And that's where in a situation like this, in that misery and grief, you get to the place where you got to die to you.
Yeah.
Now, the issue is, natural man wants to be fed in that misery with the grief. That's why the enemy, why Jesus said to Satan, he says, you, Satan, are mindful of the things of man. That's why you told me I ought to feel sorry for myself. I ought to feel bad for myself. Remember, he was trying to get Jesus off the course?
Yeah.
And he says, you are more mindful of the things of man and not the things of God.
Right.
And so the enemy does that. That's where the enemy just keeps gnawing and gnawing and gnawing. And if you're not careful, some people feel guilty because they are not in that grievous place, that I should be more grievous than what I am. I must not love them the way that I thought I loved them.
Yeah.
And see, the enemy will take advantage of you there as well.
Sure.
And you see, so all those emotions, that's why you got to get out of yourself and look unto the Lord, get in his message, and see what he says about it. Because remember, no matter how difficult it is, God can relate to you.
Yeah.
God gave up his son, didn't he?
Amen.
And his son was not a sinner and was not a problem maker. He was a solution. But he still gave up his son and he died a cruel death. And so he can relate to us. And that's why you bring that to him and give it to him, because in a situation like that, this is where we have to be cautious. Is that we can't let our circumstances put us in a position that we think we would have done it better than what God did it.
Right.
And that's what'll keep you in the hole.
That's right.
It'll keep you like, well, I would have never taken this person away. This person was in their prime. This person was being used by God. This person was right in the middle of God's will. Why in the world would he take this one but not... Here's somebody out there just causing all kind of trouble and havoc and hurting people, and they continue on, but this person dies, and you then say that, God, you should have took that one and not this one.
Yeah.
And see, now you play in the part of God, and you can't play God and serve God.
That's right.
You can't play God and submit to God.
I can help these people. Why couldn't I help my...
Well, a lot of cases, you think of that. So there's more than just grief. There's also... that you can find yourself where you just let this so work on your mind that your mind's not being renewed, being transformed. You just kind of wallowing in the lie around a reality, but you're not bringing God's perspective into it.
That's right.
And when that happens, you stay in a spiral.
Yeah.
Downward.
Yeah.
So having truths to recognize that, hey, God uses all this in my life, and yes, what is possible is not always profitable.
Right.
And we want to always remember that. You know, all things are possible with God.
Right.
But what's possible with Him is not always profitable for us or the kingdom.
Right.
And that's where we then submit to say, God, you see this better than we can. I'm not in a position to say what should take place and not take place. That's out of my hands. I'm going to submit to you. And I can't do anything about what's already happened, but I can recognize I still have, and a lot of times people have not only a husband or a wife, but they have other children. And they have other people around them, but the other people around them are suffering because they won't allow the comfort of the Lord to do something within them. And this child or that child or this brother or that sister or this husband or that wife is in a spiral down with them because they can't effectively help them.
Yeah.
And they won't let them help them. And they drag in everybody down, and now they become unprofitable in everything they're doing, because you find yourself in this self-pity over the condition, no matter how grievous it may be, and that doesn't transfer a blessing to people. What it does is put all the focus on you,
yeah,
and what you've lost, what you don't have anymore. And you see, all the attention is upon you, and we can't help but continue to recognize that no matter how grievous a thing is, no matter how difficult times will get, the attention is never to be upon us or the people. We give our attention unto the Lord. And that's the danger. And any of us can be in that position, find ourselves in there.
Sure.
And you know how many marriages and families got tore up because something tragic happened within that family, couldn't get past it.
Yeah.
And husbands and wives could no longer work with one another because of a loss. And
yeah,
those things happen, and it's as heartbreaking as the tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it.
See, that
and that's what the enemy does.
That happened to my mother. When my grandmother passed away,
he was telling me that, yeah.
In 1955, she passed away, and 85, my mother passed away, and probably within any given time between then and their mother,
30 years,
went to that cemetery every day except maybe 10 times in that whole 30 years.
Come on. Just couldn't get past it.
She couldn't get past it. She could not get past her mother's grave.
Mm.
And that grieved her to death. It took 30 years, but
it happens.
She killed herself. And I would call it suicide.
It happens. It's a miserable slope. I come across people all the time in the work that we go places, and they just heartbroken, grievous, miserable people because they lost something a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago,
yeah,
or 15 years ago,
yeah,
and they can't get past it. And it gets to the point where, you know, they tell themselves they're the only ones that grieve them.
Yeah.
Nobody else misses them like they miss them. Nobody,
yeah,
else feels,
yeah,
like they feel.
Yeah.
And it's always nobody, 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 nobody. Is in this with me. And you see, that's when you isolate yourself, the scripture says you rage. You didn't get there accidentally. You rage against wise judgment.
Right.
Proverbs says that he who isolates himself rages against wise judgment. That is, God sent people to help you. Look to Him. This world we live in is tough. It'll beat you apart.
Yeah.
If you look in to it and to yourself, you know, and the loss only adds to that. So we want to help people when they're in those situations, but you can't help anybody that don't want to be helped.
Amen.
You can't. And you can't help anybody that don't want to be helped. Some people don't want to be helped. You know, like you was talking about your mother didn't want to be helped from that. So no matter who, no matter what, no matter nothing, they take on this burden that is unnecessary, and then they want the attention upon them through the thing. As sad as it is, that's what it boils down to. And
I agree.
It's a child. It's hard, but you can't help them until they really want help.
That's right.
Okay, so the Queen died this week, and I saw this girl living on Facebook, put on there, she went on a rant about it, and said that she was, y'all better wake up and see what she was, and she said something about good riddance, said she was a Satanist, a child trafficker. I went on and on about all the stuff she was, and I'm like, well, I ain't never heard that before. And don't get me wrong, I'm probably the dumbest there is to know what goes on in England.
Right.
You know, but
you're out of the loop on those things.
I don't know nothing about it.
I don't either.
I just wonder if y'all had ever heard
No,
of it.
I mean, you know, that's
some
one
guy said something. What is your source on this? He commented on it. She said, oh, you just dig, you'll find it.
Yeah, that's because they've reading this stuff. You got to be careful what you read out there.
I know.
Yeah.
People always putting stuff on it. We don't know. I don't know. I couldn't say either way. But I do know this. I do know what the scripture says and what we have to be cautious of. What does the Bible teach us about speaking evil of no one?
There you go.
Doesn't the scripture say that?
Yeah.
Scripture also says don't let your good be spoken evil of.
Right.
That's another very important thing. Don't let your good, what you do that's a good thing, don't let it be evil spoken of. That is, you don't give them any legitimate reason to speak evil of, but what you're doing is good. That is, goes back to you what putting attention on you, and that you have a superior knowledge on this than other people do. And if you'll go look it up, you can find it too, but don't ever give you any kind of source.
Right.
The other thing is, we just read in Jude. What did Jude say? Jude said something about this. Y'all remember what it said just a couple days ago we was in Jude? Look in Jude real quick. Let's see. And the reason I say that, I'm just taking what I know of the scriptures. Yeah, and that's where we have to be careful of who you quote. And some people, the thing is, there's a lot of other people out there. There have been a lot of lies that have been propagated and a lot of things that people have taken in this social media world that they go on and read, and they ain't discerning on what's what. And we need that gift. We need to have discernment. And some things, when you read them initially, you discern in your spirit, wait a minute, this something don't sound right about this. Take that check in there, because you know what the scriptures teach us, that when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, he keeps us in a perfect peace.
Amen.
And if there's an unsettledness when you're looking at something like that, you got to recognize, well, does it grieve the spirit? Does it grieve the spirit? Don't get me wrong, God reports on issues and people, but Jude mentions this. Watch what we got here. Let's see, I'm gonna begin reading in verse number 5. Remember, these things were marked out, and he's just going to remind them. He says, but I want to remind you that you once knew this, that the Lord, having delivered, that's the idea of saved, to take out, delivered the people out of the land of Egypt, yet afterwards destroyed those who didn't what? Believe. This is Jude 6 now. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their abode, he has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Like all the fallen angels are reserved under darkness. There's no potential for them to be redeemed. There is no redeemable angel. Either you have fallen angels, you have angels. And a fallen angel is reserved under darkness for the judgment of the last day. Verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in similar manner to these, they have given themselves over to sexual immorality, and gone after strange flesh, and are set forth as examples, that's what Sodom and Gomorrah is, an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, these dreamers defile the flesh, they reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, he dared not bring an accusation against him, a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord does what? Okay, now Satan is a liar of the liars of all liars. Satan is the Satanist of all Satanists. Are you with me? And Michael, who knew exactly who he was, who was also an angel, Satan, a fallen angel. Now Michael, an angel who went to go get the body of Moses, and Satan wanting his body, he didn't bring no reviling accusation against him for who he was. He just said, the Lord, what? Rebuke you. The Lord will deal with you. And he took Moses' body. He could have been in this argument of explaining that devil was all this and that and this and that and everything on another brother. But he's saying, I want to remind you that even Michael, who had clear understanding and vision on who Satan was than you do, didn't bring no accusation against him. He knew who he was. He knew what he had done, and he knew he was going to be dealt with. And he said, the Lord will deal with you. Let the Lord deal with you. And he submitted that to him, and that's just after he said, these people who creep in, he says, they're the kind of people who speak evil of dignitaries. Yeah. Now, dignitaries are people who are put in high places of authority and who have authority over nations and with people. That's why you got to be careful about what you say about people who God's going to deal with in his own time.
Yeah.
But that's why he tells us in other places, you can report what they're doing so that people are clear on it, but you got to be careful how you speak about them. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Because see, they speak evil of dignitaries unaware. They don't even know what they even say and when they say it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see, because they read somebody else that said that. But they don't have no facts on that. Michael had facts.
Yeah.
And did.
Yeah.
So he's saying we got to learn from that. We've got to be careful. Because there's a lot of politicians and people in authority that we don't agree with, that we don't value and appreciate, but we also know that they are there by the decree of God.
Yeah.
Just like Satan is where he's at by the decree of God.
That's right.
You follow with me? So we don't get in a battle with Satan. We submit to the Lord.
That's right.
We're not in a battle with the Queen of England. We submit to the Lord. We're not in a battle with President Biden. We submit to the Lord.
True.
You see, that's how this works. And that's why in other places he tells us. Because that's the idea of speaking evil of dignitaries here. He goes on to say, let's read that one more time. I'm going to read verse 8. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh. That is, They live according to the flesh. They just feed their flesh. They reject the authority that God has placed over them. Because you got to keep in mind, at that time, there was no godly authority over the people of God. That was the authorities in that day. Who was over them at that time? The Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And the Roman Empire was not a godly empire.
No.
Matter of fact, they persecuted the believers.
Yeah.
So when they write the entire scriptures that we see in the Newer Testament, we find in there was others in authority. Who was in authority over the Jews? You had Herod and the chief priests and the scribes. Jesus dealt with them, but at the same time how he dealt with them, he knew the Father was going to deal with them. And he came in the sense that he said, judgment's coming. And in AD 70, judgment fell on the Jews. And he destroyed the temple and he destroyed the people and dispersed them. But here He says, they reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries, yet Michael, the archangel, and contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, he dared not bring an accusation against him, a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these, on the other hand, speak evil of whatever they do not what?
No.
They don't know.
Yeah.
Now, how in the world somebody going to tell you they know when they don't know that whoever they talking about, let's say the Queen of England was involved in all this stuff, as if they know it personally? That's what they say. Because they don't know. That's why they say, go look, go dig it up, you'll find it. Because they don't know.
They don't know.
So who do they speak in evil what they don't know? Isn't that what it says? They speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they do know, this is the idea, what they know naturally, like instinctive brute beast, and these things, what do? They corrupt themselves. They pollute themselves.
Amen.
Because a brute beast is somebody who just lives instinctively. They live by their gut. And this is how we don't live that way. Our belly is not our God, in the sense that the innermost part of the person is not what governs the person. We're governed by truth. Michael was governed by the Lord. So he didn't deal with Satan the way that Satan wanted him to deal with him. When Jesus, what did he do? He rebuked Satan. Get behind me, what?
Yeah.
Satan.
Yeah.
What's verse 11 say? Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Cain was a way of saying, look at me, look what I've done.
Yeah.
And when people do all that, that's to get attention on, look what I know.
Yeah.
Not who I know, but what I know.
Yeah.
You follow with me?
And
not one thing in there was who I know, but look at me, what I know.
And
what I've done, what I've put together. Now, like I say, I don't know enough to say what or who. You're going to see all kind of stuff. You're going to see other people going to share quotes about the queen and her relationship with Jesus. You're going to read other stuff that people are going to say that she served Satan. She was a Satanist. You're going to read other stuff that she was this. Look.
Not knowing, but
yeah.
I've just never heard nothing on the queen.
And can you, and it may, if it is, look over in 1 Corinthians 4 real quick. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. This is, look, we have to guard ourselves, because I'm just as prone as anybody, man. I got to catch myself every once in a while. Be careful. Don't get ahead of this, Nick. You could say something that.
Yeah.
Put it this way. I don't want to get put on the shelf with God because I let somebody else get me out of the will of God.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Gotcha.
That's the idea, that it ain't worth it. And he says right here, verse number 1, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ. If you want to know anything, let us know we serve Christ, and stewards with the mysteries of God. That we are faithful with the mysteries that God has given us.
1 Corinthians.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 4. Yeah, that other passage was in relationship to what?
Yeah,
your counsel. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 4. Moreover, it is required that he brought up the word steward. Now he's thinking about it.
Yeah.
Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found
faithful.
Okay? But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself.
Come on.
For personally, Paul says, I know nothing against myself, yet I am not judged by this. But he who judges me is who?
Lord.
The Lord. Even though I think I don't have anything that is out there that needs to be brought to light from that perspective, I'm not justified by that. What I think about it, the Lord is the one who has to justify me. You're not going to justify me, and you're not going to condemn me.
Right.
Are you with me? That's what he's saying. Even though I don't know anything that I need condemned for,
I'm still not justified by that. Then he says, verse number 5, therefore you judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring the light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. And obviously those that don't, won't.
So you see what he just said?
Yeah.
Be careful of what you put out there about somebody. Even though when you hear somebody say something and you know people are in tune with that person, and what they're saying is not lined up with the gospel, not lined up with the truth, you want to tell people of what the person said and that it don't line up, you need to consider that. That's Paul does that, Jesus does that, the scriptures do that. But he's saying that if he's God's servant, he's going to be the justified or dealt with by God on that. That's not on you to condemn. You can report it, but you let God deal with it, and you let people discern on whether they need to listen to them or not.
Come on.
But you're not the judge in this. God is the judge. And he says here, be careful, because there's some things that look good but ain't. And there's some things that ain't good that may look good but ain't. And there's some things that may look bad that are actually good, and you're missing it the whole time.
Come on.
You give that over to the Lord. So, and that's going to be brought to light when the Lord comes. So that's where he cautions us on this. He gives us a caution.
We can't please God with flesh anyway.
No, the only way to please God is by faith. Living by faith. Yeah. Living by faith. Taking him at his word. And that's where Paul said, I want to live by faith. I want to be a steward with the message that he gives me. And that message would be a blessing to you. Like Jude, when he wrote, Jude said, I wanted to talk to you things like Paul's been talking to you about, but there's a problem going on. I got to deal with it so that you can contend. And it's with people who are misusing these things for their own self-gain. And you need to be aware of it so that you can recognize who they are, because obviously you've missed it, and we need to work through it. So those are just some great tools for us to help with, whether it be the scripture helps us with grief, and the scripture helps us when people grossly misuse somebody else for their own advantage. You know, scripture gives light to it all. That's why we use the word. That's why we go to the word. That's why we want to know the word, so that we can discern. Wait a minute, that don't sound right to me, because the Bible warns me to be cautious on that.
Yeah.
And it kind of had a check in my spirit when I read it. You know, you read that, say, wait a minute. There's going to be all kind of stuff comes to light, you know, on who's who.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as he goes over, you're going to hear now that Prince Charles is going to be the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Well, what role will he potentially play in the near future? We don't know that yet. We'll just have to let it unfold, you know. But I guarantee you, if you pay attention enough, you're going to see it. People are going to start putting him. Well, see, they've been doing that for a long time. Every time somebody else comes on, that's him.
Yeah.
And then another one's going to do it, and then another one's going to do it, and then another one's going to do it. Now, they're always contenders. You got to remember that. Contenders contend for the glory of God. And you got to ask the question, well, do I contend for the glory of God? Am I trying to replace the glory of God in my life, or trying to replace it in somebody else's life, or am I edifying and glorifying him? And will King Charles do it? Did the Queen do it? Whoever else is to come on the scenes, you're always looking. Are they trying to oppose and replace?
Yeah.
Well, if that be the case, they are an Antichrist. They may not be the Antichrist, but they are Antichrist. But they live in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
The Antichrist do. Are you with me?
Come on.
They're all around us. Wherever, when we go to work, when we go to the store, there are people constantly who are trying to oppose and replace the glory of God. And even sometimes in our grievous moments of our life, we're doing the same thing. We're contending in our grief for the glory that only goes to God.
Come on.
And so we got to be cautious. Man, it's a fight, ain't it? That enemy's ruthless, huh?
Amen.
He'll take advantage in every way he can. Even in a good thing, he'll try to take advantage of us in that. And that's why we want to give the glory unto him.
Amen.
Well, Lord willing, this evening we'll look at the book of Revelation for a little bit and ask God to help us with it. This morning we're going to be over in 1 Kings 18. We're going to be looking at Elijah, Lord willing, today and next week that the kids are looking at in the back as well. So we're looking at the fact that nothing is impossible with God. And then we're going to see next week how Elijah started having an old pity party and got on the run, and God had to reveal to him that you're not by yourself. I've got other people out there. I know you took it upon yourself, and God proved it to him. Come on in. Come on in. So, good stuff. Good stuff.
1 Kings where?
18.
18.
1 Kings 18. That's where the littles will be this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.